United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning. Moline County Board of Supervisors. Tuesday, June 23rd, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
Anybody else want to say anything? Department heads and election officials. We have a special guest today, and he's probably got more important things to do than the board has to do. So I'd like to introduce Dylan. Dylan Beard, you're the dog handler, right?
Yep. My name's Dylan Beard. I'm obviously a deputy of the sheriff's office, and this is K-9 Deputy Tank here. He's a Belgian Malinois.
If you ought to probably stand up here, and then the camera will catch you.
The camera? Okay, I'll get the camera.
Very good, Virginia.
It wants to meet everybody.
What a beautiful dog.
Yes, he is.
He's a year and 3-month-old Belgian Malinois. We got him from a place over in Sheraton, Iowa called K-9 Tactical. I had a 5-week training course over there, and then every month I go back for 2 days. So like this Thursday, Friday, I'll go back and we continue training him and train him every day, and then go back to the professional trainer for a couple days. But as you can see, he's got a lot of puppy left in him, but he's just he's a happy-go-lucky dog. He loves people. He was raised over here. He was socialized well when he was a pup, so for the most part, he's just a great dog. He's fun to have around, and I'm glad to have him. He's a great asset to our county and to our sheriff's office. So.
My son's a little familiar with those. He says they're really intelligent, really high-energy dogs.
Yeah, they're very high-energy, as you can tell. He just wants to go do his job. He don't like standing around, but that's all right.
Can you pet him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Come here, Tank.
Come on, let's go meet him. This way.
We're not going in there.
Probably. Go with that guy over there on the end. He's probably got some candy hidden somewhere.
I should have brought him to Dr. Pepper Peanut, my buddy.
Don't jump on
him. What a good boy.
Don't jump on him.
I better not put those pictures in there.
Thanks.
You're checking us out to make sure we're clean. That's good. I'm glad we got him.
I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any.
How long has he been on the force?
Let's see. I started the training when he was 10 months old, so that would have been in February. I started the training. I got out of the training in end of March, or close. So April, May, June, 3 months now. So.
And Burlington PD has one also.
Yep. His name's Rico. He's a German Shepherd. This is a Belgian Malinois. They're very similar. They just have a couple of characteristics that are different. But this is just a little bit older than Tank. I think he's 2.5 years now. But
do they know each other?
Yeah. We've had them working around each other. They're two dominant dogs, but they seem to just kind of go about their own business. So they're different dogs when it's work time. Like right now, he thinks it's work time because I'm in uniform and he's got his vest on. And so standing inside up here, he's just like, what are we? I don't know if you want me to go smell something, I don't know if you want me to go look for something. He just doesn't really understand what we got going on yet. But that's all right, he's learning. He's still young. But no, Burlington's handler, Clay Beckman's also a great handler. It's fun to have around him, and I do a lot of training together. So it's good to kind of partner up with those guys for sure.
So he can smell drugs?
Yep, he's trained in narcotics detection inside of vehicles and buildings. That's to include marijuana, heroin, cocaine, ecstasy, and methamphetamine.
If you want him to go get somebody, can he go get him?
Oh, yeah.
He's awfully good.
He's awfully good at that.
Do we have a bite suit?
We do not have a bite suit, but Burlington's got one. But most of my bite training I do with a professional trainer over there in Sheraton. So while I'm around here, I do some maintenance training, which include like narcotics detection and obedience, that sort of thing. Obedience inside of buildings, but most of our bite work is handled by him. He sets up certain scenarios to really benefit the dog, and it's important on the decoys side, and that's the guy that's taking the bite. He can really improve the dog's grip and the dog's strength and the dog's understanding of what he's doing. So there's some things that he sets up for us that really benefit myself and the dog. So here for the near future, since we're so new and so new to all this and learning still, most of my bite work will be done over there with a professional trainer. So. And that's also to ensure safety. Dogs can get hurt during bite training, so you know, that he sets it up in a way to protect the dogs too, so.
If you ever bring that bite suit over here, I make the motion we try it out on Bob.
Here, when we get a little bit older and a little bit, learn everything that we need to learn, then we'll probably just be doing some more of that back home, but.
Well, I'm sure I speak for it. We've been excited about this since you guys brought it to us, and we're thrilled that he's here. We're happy that you're taking care of him.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have him. He's a great dog to have at home and to have around the office and around people. As you can see, he's just a super friendly dog. He understands he's got a job to do too, and when it's time to do his job, then he'll go do it. But other than that, he's great around kids and people, and he just likes to.
That's amazing.
But he never quits working. Like, you can see him right now. He just wants to work so bad. And he doesn't know what to work right now. It's like, in here, out there.
He looks like a perfect addition to the sheriff's department.
He's a lot of fun to have. And we appreciate your support and getting him and putting the program together.
We're tickled. I've been excited about this for some time until we decided we were going to get one. To meet this gentleman.
He's trained also in tracking, like I said, building searches, apprehensions, felony stops, all the narcotics detection. Come on.
It's like you do on in the movie, you wave a sock or something in front of his nose so he knows what he's looking for?
No, we just wherever the last, the officer saw the suspect fleeing at the last point is where we'll start. Just point to the ground and he'll pick up the track and off and running. The important thing is that the support personnel let us know where they've been so we don't pick up the support track. But other than that, once he gets on it, we're off and cruising. So and it's just all about reading the changes of behavior in him and understanding the wind direction and all that. That plays a big part in tracking. Tracking can be difficult, but he seems to be pretty good at it. So we enjoy tracking.
Could you find a lost person?
Your certification on that track you did.
Oh, okay. So at the end of our 5-week course, we had a certification to certify us as a canine team. And the certification was a whole a scenario-based certification. So it started off with a vehicle that was parked out into a cattle pasture. The first thing we had to do was sniff the vehicle for drugs, in which he did that and alerted on the vehicle and found the drugs. After that, then the trainer said that a suspect had fled from the vehicle during the scenario. And so right from narcotics detection, went straight into a track and tracked him, crossed a creek and two or three fences and went through two cattle pastures. One of them was an active cattle pasture, which is pretty impressive on the dog's part with cattle out in it and all the workings of the cattle. Did well through there, crossed a second fence, and then at that point in time, he worked through the yard of a house, and we had never been to this house before during the 5-week training. And he tracked straight to the back door of the house and started barking at the back door of this house. And I told the trainer, I'm like, well, and I granted, I had no knowledge of what was going on. I had no prior intel at all. I said, well, it looks like to me that the suspect fled in here. And he goes, yep, we're going to go now search this building for the suspect. So we went from tracking right into our building search. We muzzled the dog for safety, obviously. And then starting a building search, started down in the basement and worked our way up to the upstairs. And in the upstairs closet, we found the suspect hiding. At which time the suspect was behind a closed door, and Tank will alert on a door when somebody's behind there, and his alert is scratching and barking at the door. Very intense, very loud. And then we did a muzzle apprehension, so the door came open, and released Tank for an apprehension on the suspect. Granted, he was in a muzzle. Then get the dog off and walk the suspect outside as we had apprehended him during the scenario, and then had to go back inside for a narcotics detection of the building, so we started going room by room. And now, that's a very difficult transition for a canine, to transition from a house looking for a suspect. And now we gotta dial it back, and now we gotta go in and methodically search for narcotics. Did well on that, transitioned well on that, and then the final stage was an article search outside in the yard. During that article search is where somebody would throw contraband. It could be a knife, it could be a firearm, it could be drug, it could be whatever they're trying to get rid of. And so we searched the yard for the article, in which we do like a back and forth pattern, and then he alerted on a gun out in the yard. And then the final step was back to vehicle detection, once again on a separate vehicle. And then he alerted on that vehicle as well. But to do those things at his age and transition from one to the next is a difficult task. To get that dog, he's just different types of drives that he is in at that point in time. But he did well, and we certified, and that was at the end of week 4 of our training.
How long was that track from the car to the house?
The track was probably 600, 800 yards, somewhere in there.
So, is he on leash the whole time then?
Yep, he's on a 20-foot leash when we're tracking. So at the end of his harness here is this loop, and so I'll attach a 20-foot leash to that, and then send him off on the track, and I hold on to the other end and do my best to hang on. But it's my job to understand the wind and the wind direction. For example, if the wind is at her back, a lot of times we'll go past a turn, and then Tank will come out of the order of the track and for lack of a better word, lose the track. Well, he didn't lose the track, he just worked his way out of the scent. So it's my job to work him back into the wind and put him in the proper position to pick it back up. So those are just all things that the handler could do to kind of help out the dog, but he can do it. It's a lot of fun to have. So that was a certification, which there's a lot of different certifications out there. But that was one that we had to do, so.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Tank, absolutely. I hope this isn't the last time I see you.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted on all of his adventures.
Okay, that's
hopefully we'll have a good 6 or 7 or 8 working years out of him, so we're looking forward to it. I know he's looking forward to it. He loves to go to work, so.
What?
That's what my wife is looking for when she married me. Ended up disappointed. So.
She didn't get a good 6 or 7 years.
You said 6 or 7 years. What's the expectancy of them to do this at?
He's pretty young. We got him pretty young. A lot of police dogs start when they're 2 years old. And most guys say if you can get 5 years out of them, anything past that's a bonus. Anything less than 5 years, you're a little bit disappointed. But anything can happen. Hips can go out. He can get sick. I mean, they're a working dog. You ask a lot out of them. So everybody in the canine industry just kind of hopes for that 5 years. And then everything past that's a bonus. But there's a chance he could work for 8 years. Until he gets to the point where he has difficulty getting in and out of the car and doing those high-intensity tracks and those high-intensity building searches and apprehensions, and you'll see in the dog when he's just getting worn out and just when it's time to retire. So
stay with you then?
I sure hope so.
I for the dog's sake, I hope so too.
Yep, I'm sure that is the plan. But things always change and things move along, but that's the plan, and I'm looking forward to it.
You're keeping track of all the money we got in him, haven't you?
I help do that a little bit. Yeah. Sergeant Glenn Denning does most of that. So he's kind of my direct supervisor when it comes to the canine world. So, and he's very supportive. A lot of the guys in the department are super supportive. They help me out with a lot of the training. Obviously, I can't go lay a track and track myself all the time. So a lot of guys will come out and lay a track for me, and we'll go do some practice tracks. And so that's a lot of fun.
What happens if you go down?
If I fall down?
Well, worse.
Oh, if I go down, well, then the dog will be transferred to somebody else and send the handler with this dog back to that 5-week course. The dog's pretty much ready to go during that 5-week course. It's all about the handler learning how to handle the dog.
What if he's on a mission? You're tracking somebody and they don't like you tracking and you're taken out.
I think it wouldn't be an issue for one of the guys to get a hold of him and leash him up. I always have this 5-foot leash on me. And you get him leashed up and he'll listen to just about everybody. And you just walk him back to the car and in the mission at that point.
Ever the internal op.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, if there's somebody that's doing that kind of play, you'd want to make sure we get him.
Yeah, oh yeah. And you just got to, some of those situations, you can't predict them all, and you just kind of let them unfold as they go.
Thank you very much. We'll let you go back to work.
Really appreciate
you.
Tom, do you want to try to hide somewhere in the courthouse?
Do I want what?
You want to go try to hide somewhere in the courthouse?
This is a muzzle-free.
Muzzle-free.
Well, I appreciate you guys having us in, and I appreciate once again all the support that you've given the sheriff's office and the program. So
you
really look forward to doing some really good things out there.
You and Tank take good care of yourselves. Yeah. Each other.
We will.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming. Thanks, Brett.
You bet.
Hey, Brett.
Brett. Oh.
Can you have him go in to the girls?
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Would you I wonder if we can let, if you take off up the back steps and run around the top of the fourth floor, back down the back step, the front step, if you'd...
I won't suspect that you've seen me run. The 10-second head start, get me back to that door.
Oh, that's cool.
That was fun. That was fun. Let me give the public notice, since we're streaming and we have a limited attendance. Anybody with any questions or comments during the meeting may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, that's B-O-A-R-D, at dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor. That's a hard act to follow.
Yes, that is. I'm just, you know, don't have a whole lot to say after that, except for we're starting to kick into gear for general election. So we can start accepting absentee requests on July the 6th. That's when everybody can start sending in their request forms. Ballots will not be available until that first Monday in October. But we're just gearing up for all of that, hoping we have plenty of poll workers and locations, and we'll see what the fall brings.
Thank you. Colin Gerst, IT.
Just keeping really busy, like always. Nothing new to report.
Okay. Ryan Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. Projects are moving along. Iowa City Road should open up today. So officially, I guess. A lot of people have been driving through already. We've been waiting for one last subcontractor, and they were done last night. So that'll open up. Gear Avenue is still kind of slow, but sure. Hopefully pour some concrete this week, but kind of depends on weather. The rain got them yesterday. That downpour in Burlington kind of messed things up, so they had a little repair to do on some stuff. We'll just see. They'll get some concrete pour either this week or next, and that hopefully will wrap up most of the concrete pour on that. Just a lot of dirt work left after that. Upper Flint's coming up, so either late this week or sometime next, I would expect that'll go closed. And the bridges are moving along. That's kind of a slow but sure thing. So making headway. A lot of stuff going on.
Thank you, Brian. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
Good morning. We have started the initial process for our conversion of our data management system to the new one. I believe Colin has asked Stuart to help us out, so we're right now trying to get all of our data copied from the current system so we can get that over to them so they can begin the transfer. Luckily, it's still fairly quiet for us, not so much for Colin and his folks, but it's still fairly quiet for us, so this is actually timing-wise going to be really good so that we can get a lot of the kind of difficult legwork done. The expectation is we will go live with CarPel the last week of October, although we are hoping to go, hopefully maybe get bumped up a little bit. Our current contract ends at the end of October, so we're cutting it really, really close, but they were able to squeeze us in. So we're really looking forward to that. We know it's going to be a lot of work to get everything converted, but I think it's just going to make life easier for everyone, especially during the COVID process of having attorneys work from home. This just being a cloud-based system is going to be so much easier for IT. It's not going to have to be setting up remote desktops to get us into our data management system. If they have internet access, they'll be able to get in. So I know for the attorneys, should we be in a similar situation after October, where we have to work from home, we'll be in a position that really any of our staff could work from home, which we did not have that benefit this go-round. We had to have staff that were here, just simply because of the system. My understanding is the courts hopefully will be opening soon. One of the judges said that, I believe Judge Brown has gotten everything submitted to the Supreme Court, just waiting for official approval. I know I have 3 motions to suppress set for hearing in the next couple of days, so we're hoping to actually do them upstairs in person. And then once that happens, then we can start using the courtrooms for depositions. I may actually ask to use this room for depositions. Obviously not on Tuesdays, but we just don't have any conference room either in our second floor office here or at our office on Valley Street. We don't have conference rooms that are big enough to have everybody 6 feet apart. But really, that's the only thing we're kind of waiting on. Well, the trials don't start until September, so we're just doing all the legwork, making sure all the discovery is done, getting everything taken care of in the next couple of months. While we've been low on actual court work, we did get all of the files from the Des Moines County Attorney's Office cleared out of the courthouse basement. So they're currently, I think the shredding company came yesterday and took part two. We think there's probably part three and part four that will still need to be shredded. And I think the goal is to also go throw our stuff out at the CPC to make sure we've just gotten rid of everything that we can get rid of, to get it all properly stored and labeled. And so we've actually put our downtime to pretty good use to get some stuff done.
Did you put that on tapes? Or?
No, we just literally, there was just a whole bunch of stuff. We don't know why anybody kept it. Right. I think Pat Jackson was always of the philosophy, just keep everything. I know that's the way he was inside the office, and you can tell by some of the files that were kept, if he just kept everything. And so we went through and kind of revised our policy for file destruction, which I think is going to help. And then ultimately, once CARPAL comes in, the goal is to go paperless. A few of us are already starting to work on that, i.e., Todd and I. We tend to be old-timers who like our piece of paper. But we're kind of learning to take electronic notes and getting ourselves acclimated to the idea of not being tied to a paper file. That will be a slow process for both of us. That's why we're starting it now. So hopefully by November we'll be ready for that part of it. But yeah, it's just a lot of stuff we just didn't. People that were convicted of a Class C felony who've been dead for 25 years, we're not really sure why we needed to keep the file. We did keep all homicide cases, and anything that we thought maybe was of historical significance. There was some sexual assault, some kidnappings that were just back at the time they were taking place were kind of big news. And so we did keep those just more for historical perspective than anything else. Some of the homicide files, both the defendant and any suspect is gone, but again, we kept those more for historical purposes rather than actually thinking we would ever need to get into a file. There were some things we just decided, yeah, it's probably good to keep a copy, and our receptionist has just been working on scanning those in, so we'll have a digital copy somewhere if we absolutely have to have it. But I think we probably got rid of 3/4 of the boxes.
Wow.
So yeah, we're cleaned out of the basement.
Thanks, Lisa. Brett Grimshaw, Chief Deputy, Des Moines County Sheriff's Office.
Just one thing, Tom. I think Kevin might have talked to you about the grant that we just put in for the Bureau of Justice Administration. We had $58,000 available. We put in for it, and they approved it. I don't know that we got the check yet, but everything we put in for, we got. So
good.
Nice.
Good.
$58,000 worth of stuff. Computers and PPE equipment, all kinds of stuff. I can't rattle off all the stuff that we applied for, but they approved everything.
Good.
Yeah. But that's it.
Thanks, Brett.
You bet.
Ken Hyman, Community Services.
Good morning. I guess the biggest news this past week that I've heard is that Bob Lincoln with County Social Services, he's the CEO there, has resigned. And
how
so,
many counties did they have?
I think, now I just have a map from a year ago. So at that time they had 22 counties on that map. So I'm not sure if they've changed any in the past year, but there's a lot of counties that he serves. And they just privatized, and so they're kind of separated from their counties now, but they still get IPERS. And so I wonder who the next person's going to be to fill those big shoes. They had an article in the Cedar Falls Waterloo paper of who's filling in until they hire somebody, but I don't recall that name, but that's big news to me. I just heard that on Thursday or Friday last week. So That's all I have.
I'm going to have a couple questions. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to keep busy. We've got a couple of open positions that we're working on filling. We have a nurse and secretarial position, so we're doing some interviewing. Continue on investigations, doing our COVID follow-ups and contact tracing. And we are continuing doing screening for the courthouse at this point. I know we will probably want to talk about that this morning during the COVID update.
Yeah, and we've sort of been going week to week on that. Our goal is to get the courts open so that the county attorney can get some of this done. And if that helps us, I think we just
wait
until we know what's going on, leave it open, try to encourage the courts to open here. Like you said, maybe they're getting close, so that would be great.
Yeah, yesterday, we had court service today and yesterday, and one of the judges indicated that his understanding is they were just waiting Des Moines' approval, and that we had done everything that needed to be done, it was signed off on, just waiting on court approval from Des Moines.
Let's just bring this up weekly, see next week what's going on, and if we get to a point we don't think it's necessary, the courts don't think it's necessary, we can worry about them. I don't want them to change their mind and say, let's think about one county and sit on your motions to suppress for another 3 months.
No, I don't want to.
That work for you guys?
Works for me, great.
Okay, let's do that. Thank you, Krista. Correspondence.
We got
people.
Webex.
We got here and all that.
Oh, okay. Who we got?
Rodney Bleaser, Des Moines County Maintenance Director.
Rodney Bleaser, Des Moines County Maintenance. Sorry to forget, Rodney.
Oh, that's okay.
I can't see you.
No, really, I have nothing new to add. We're just extremely busy. Got a lot of different projects going on, but nothing new to report this week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jared Lassiter, Land Use.
Jared, you probably got good news for us, don't you?
I think so. It's kind of been back and forth. I was a little. This is related to the state legislation about county zoning. So initially, I was under the impression, after we had consulted with that representative who was involved with the original bill, it sounded like the chances of getting a further amendment through in this legislative session would probably be pretty slim, given the current situation and how brief that session was. But evidently, we had followed through on that yesterday and gotten a response from the governor's legal counsel that slight amendment, which is basically what we proposed to change it so that it would limit people who live in cities from serving on county zoning boards, but would still be worded in such a way so that counties with partial zoning could have anybody in the unincorporated county serve. So that appears to have been included in a bill that went through the legislature. So it would just need to go to the governor to be signed. But indications seem to be that seems to have gone through. So we were initially considering the option of having a second commission to review subdivisions apart from zoning, if for whatever reason this didn't go through or the governor didn't sign it, but out there as an option, but I think it's the easier overall if we could keep that to one single board that addresses both, and that would have the option. We would still try to have at least half or a majority of members on that board be within the 2 mile, but it could still be open to anybody else if they were interested. So we'll keep our eyes on that and let you know when anything official happened regarding that. I know it was all relatively new. We had our zoning commission meeting last week. We had a subdivision to review, and in the process, we also spent a little time discussing the prospect of having two separate commissions. And so that was before we were still under the impression that it was unlikely that anything would get through in this session. So It sounded like they were receptive to it, and if this board would be, we're thinking about having a work session in the future to address that. But of course, now it seems more likely that that's not going to be the case. So we'll keep you posted on that. In terms of that subdivision that we reviewed, the commission did vote to recommend that for the board to approve. However, because it's within a 2 mile of West Burlington, and they still need to go through and review that. They were originally going to review it at a meeting the week before our commission did, but the last minute they realized they didn't have a quorum, so that had to get postponed. But assuming that things go forward as currently planned, we should probably be able to have that to you in a couple of weeks, assuming that they approve it. So it's still in progress, but it might be a little longer before you see that one. That's all I have right now.
Thank you, Jared. I'd like to take a minute. The reason we got this done is I reached out to a couple people. Representative Dave Kerr contacted the guy that was pushed that legislation and had him get a hold of me. And anyway, so we emailed back and forth, and then we got on the phone with him, with Zach James and I. And he understood. He said, I'll see what I can do. The bill had already been passed and signed by the governor, so we didn't know where he was going to be able to do anything or not, but he got an amendment stuck in another bill that passed, so he went out of his way to do that. So the guy's name was Representative Mike Sexton that did that. That was the guy. It would not have happened if Representative Kerr wouldn't have had him get hold of me. So I complain about the legislature when I don't, but I'm really happy this time they went out of their way to accommodate Des Moines County.
So does that mean we're not looking for all those board members now?
Well, as long as the governor signs it, I don't know that they think there's any reason she wouldn't, but it hasn't been signed into law. But they did get that stuck in another bill that's passed that's waiting for the governor's signature. So that means we don't need to come up with an extra board.
I hate to lose all that continuity.
Yeah. So
technically, since the initial bill was already passed, it's essentially already in effect. It's kind of unfortunate that so technically this past meeting we had it where we considered those two members would no longer be eligible to serve, but perhaps at least in the case of Dick Keith, our former chairman, if this second bill is approved, then that if he's interested, that would make it eligible for him to continue serving.
That would be great. Yeah. So, thank you, Jared. Anyway, so I was.
And Tom.
I was,
thank you.
I had much more. Zach did most of talking. Who else we got, caller?
Jackie Meyer, clerk of court.
Jackie Meyer, clerk of court.
Good morning, everyone. We're just working hard trying to get all the protocols and procedures complied with, and we're there. Just like everybody else has said, we just want to get back to everybody back in the office and some sense of normalcy. But yes, we have complied with everything as far as the PPE and the social distancing. Been busy putting up signs on the courtrooms, in the courtrooms, in the hallways, in my offices. So hopefully soon.
Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. We just continue to be busy, especially the motor vehicle department with title transfers and registrations and plate transfers and so on. I would like to remind everyone that the current governor's proclamation expires on Thursday, June 25th, and with that, the March installment interest expires as well, or the waiver of it, and interest will start on Friday the 26th. And that also affects the 30-day deadline for title transfers. So anyone that had any a purchase in mid-February, there's a small window to after the 26th to avoid any penalty. And that goes for any registration renewal expiration dates for certain customers as well. Other than that, like I said, we're just keeping busy, and I do have two agenda items.
Thank you, Janelle.
That's all.
You're welcome.
Okay, I didn't miss anybody. Correspondence.
Well, other than that, from Vicki, that we have on the agenda, so.
Okay. Proceed to discussion and vote. We have the Southeast Iowa Governing Board a statement of understanding. Each year they send out a statement of understanding that that Patty Brooks is 100% paid out of the mental health and disability services, and Ken Heinemann is paid 80%, 20% of his salary goes towards general assistance, which is funded by the county general fund. But we just need to pass the state.
So the region's already signed off on it, and they just want each county to sign off on it too. That's a general understanding.
Yeah.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Have the approval of the fiscal 21 ICAP insurance renewal. The premium is $282,979. And then there's a long-term for being a member. You get a credit voucher. Credit voucher for $25,824.30. So the total premium is $257,154.70.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes. We have the approval of the fiscal 21. How many of these need to be signed?
Just the one.
Workman's compensation, the premium is $155,294. That's a premium increase of $25,183. The payroll that they haven't adjusted for the last 2 years is up 7.5%, and the experience modification factor went from 0.72 to 0.77 is the increases, but it's still the best that we can get.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Clerical and Custodial Handbook, Employee Handbook.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have approval of the Fiscal 21 Health Department Employee Handbook.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have approval of the Fiscal 21 Secondary Roads Employee Handbook.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a letter to the Corps of Engineers. Is there a copy of this? There's not a copy of the letter in here.
Oh, that's because it was on your desk for you guys to see.
Oh, is that the one? Oh, well, we looked at it, then I took it home.
You want me to go sort print one out?
Yeah, you want to go print one out? That'd be great. The Corps of Engineers is trying to change some rules to forever to put more responsibility on the local levy districts than they have been for the last recent memory, 10 years probably, that they'd be more responsible for flooding. They would be responsible for a number of things that they don't have any control over, can't legally control. And if they don't control it, then the levy could lose certification. And so then there's no flood insurance. So what a deal. Anyway, so at the Two Rivers Levy District has asked us to send a letter to the assistant chief or whatever his name is, it'll say on the letter of the Corps Engineers, asking them not to do that.
I expect he has several names by the time he gets through.
Vicky said he's a good guy.
Oh.
That anyway, and so then and I will if we approve it, I will go on their website and type that in as a comment on the draft.
Yes, the draft here.
If they would allow, well, you've got the.
I got the one that. If they would allow the locals to take care of themselves.
The one that Vicky
is that the correct one?
This is our letter. This is our letter. Yeah, it says, Assistant Secretary of the Army Civil Works, dear Mr. Secretary, we are writing to express our opposition to Engineer Circular 1165-2-218, Two Rivers Levy and Drainage District is Des Moines County, Iowa's local levy sponsor. Two Rivers Levy and Drainage District does not have the legal authority to perform the mitigation activities as outlined in the draft EC. Des Moines County has its own land use administration department. If the draft EC is enacted, our local sponsor would bear responsibility for the performance of entities that are not accountable to that sponsor. Further, the draft EC is not consistent with the intent of the Flood Control Acts of 1928 and 1936. The Des Moines County Board of Supervisors are seriously concerned that the draft EC will generate disastrous consequences and urge that it be rescinded. Respectfully, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broeker?
Yes.
If they would allow the locals to take care of themselves, their levy would go up, top of the levy. If you go down and look at how the Southern District of the Mississippi is run, and their levies have highway built on top of them, they're so big. And you get up here, then it's we've been left out.
Okay, we have assignment of a tax sale certificate compromise agreement. John Schaefer and Kathy Elliott, 253 South 10th, Burlington, Iowa, would like Des Moines County to assign over their interest in tax sale certificate 11-04292 to them. This lot is directly to the south of their property they own and live in. When they purchased their home, they were told at the time that this lot was part of the property and just recently found out that it wasn't. They would like to get ownership of this lot as they have built a shed and fence on this property as well as maintaining it all this time. They are offering a compromise of $805 for the $1,795 currently owed for the back real estate taxes on this parcel, as well as the $10 assignment fee. Breakdown of the payment is as follows. Certificate, $537 of the $537 currently due. Pay the 2010 taxes only with no interest and costs in the amount of $64. Total $601, the payment has already been received. Over the next 3 months, they will pay the 2011 to 2013 taxes only with no interest and cost in the amount of $204. They're asking the board to cancel the remaining years not included in the certificate in the amount of $450. currently due for the 2014 and 2018 taxes only, plus all the interest and costs in the event a deed is issued to them. I am respectfully recommended that the county honor their request for the assignment of Certificate 11-0429. If you agree, please sign where indicated on both the assignment compromise agreement and tax sale certificate, which you will find attached here. Sincerely, Deborah Moore, Deputy Treasurer. Do you want to add anything, Janelle?
Just that, you know, they're willing to take care of a good portion of the taxes that are currently due, and then, you know, they're going forward, the taxes will be paid as well. So it's, you know, we'll be getting it back on the tax rolls.
Move to approve the agreement.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a fireworks permit. Fox, July, fireworks gathering. We have the approval from the Danville Fire Chief. And as always, it comes out of the auditor's office, already taken care of. Thank you.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution to erect stop signs. Resolution, whereas Chapter 321, Section 255 of the 2019 Code of Iowa states that the authorities in their respective jurisdictions shall erect and maintain such traffic control devices upon highways under their jurisdiction as they deem necessary to carry out the provisions of the chapter. And whereas certain intersections in the county meet stop sign warrants per the Manual of Uniform Traffic Control Devices, Section 2B05. And now, be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors in Des Moines County deem it necessary to remove the yield sign and erect and maintain a stop sign at the following intersection: 215th Street and Iowa City Road, eastbound traffic to stop, 140th Avenue and Iowa City Road, westbound traffic to stop, 205th Street and Iowa City Road, eastbound traffic to stop.
This is just intersections that are with the portion of Iowa City Road that we just paved. They previously one had a yield sign, the others were unsigned, which is not abnormal on a rural low volume road. Obviously, as we come along and paved Iowa City Road, we're going to go ahead and put stop signs up for anything coming up to a paved road. So that's what this is for. That's the roads, the intersections where this is at.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We have approval of the Iowa DOT agreement with agreement for County Bridge Federal Fund Aid swap for the Des Moines County 99 Road Bridge T-17.
This is a standard boilerplate paperwork is what it is. Obviously, as their swap funds, these are the funds that kind of came into creation here within the last couple of years. This is the bridge on Highway 99 over Dry Branch Creek. As we've talked in the construction program many times, this is one of those that we're targeting. So I'd say this is probably 2 or 3 years away as far as construction goes, but we're already working on design and already working on the project side and go from there. So I would request approval.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Who motioned?
Bob did.
Sorry about that. Bob Beck?
Aye.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Aye.
Gina Hardy.
This is state, this doesn't, can we stamp this then?
I indeed do.
Yeah, this is stamped, yeah.
Tom?
Yes.
Cheryl Scott?
Gina Harden just called and said the governor's on her way, the meeting's been moved up to 10:15 or 10:30.
Okay, it won't take long, get the truth there, I hope.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you.
Listen, Tank.
I'm pretty sure it won't matter whether or not she's not coming here to see me. Okay, we didn't mention it in changes to the agenda, but Transitions DMC Emergency Housing has chosen not to come or was unable to make it today and apparently has no claims to make. Personnel actions. We have a personnel action for the for conservation. John Mercer, Ranger, resignation.
Approved.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Correctional Center. We have the retirement of Lisa Lawler, full-time correctional officer.
Move approved.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Secondary roads. We have a new hire, seasonal worker, Travis Master, at $9.50 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a recorder's office. Renee Wellborn, part-time clerk. It's a rehire at $14.50 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Easy to the spot. 6'8". Kind of sticks out the crowd.
And treasurer. Ashley Sherwood, clerk 2, partial day without pay on June 16th for 3.31 hours.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Reports. We have the clerk of courts report of fees collected for May 2020. This will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review in person or electronically. We have minutes for the regular meeting on June 16th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
No. I have none.
Future agenda items?
No.
I have none.
Committee reports. Okay.
Not a lot of time talking about the fair, but.
Yeah.
You've seen that in the paper.
Public input. If anybody would like to make any comments or questions, you can email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. Or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will wait 2 minutes to give people an opportunity to dial or send an email.
When you see the Lieutenant Governor, tell him I asked about his grandpa.
Okay. Well, I think it's the Governor. I don't know if the Lieutenant Governor's coming.
Oh, I thought I saw a paper where he was.
Maybe he is, I don't know. I wasn't going to go. I thought that we would have the
that's what I seen too. I seen where he's.
I saw. I was on a board with him at the Iowa Cattlemen's Association long time ago. Glenn Craig. Good time.
Bring Bob any M&Ms?
No, I saved them for myself.
It'll look better on you than on me.
There's a sign that says, don't feed the board. Just texted and said he called in, or he's. I called in to the meeting from my office phone. I guess I wanted to.
That's it.
I'm calling you on here, but I didn't know who it was.
So I don't know if he wants to speak or not.
The 2 minutes are up. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We can.
Ah, good. All right. I've been trying to talk to you guys since we did department head input. I couldn't get through. I must have been muted on your end. Anyway, I don't have much. You already talked about my park ranger resignation, so we've been dealing with that. We are taking applications for that job right now. We are taking them. We've had that job posted for 2 weeks now, or a couple weeks, I think, now. We're closing application process tomorrow. We've gotten several in already, so we're going through that process now. We are hoping to get through that process and have a job offer out for my board to approve at the board meeting next week, if we can get through the process quick enough. And then other than that, our summer camps are starting up next week. We do still have 3 spots available within our summer camps. We have, let's see, I got it written here. We have 1 spot for 10 to 13 year olds and 2 for 12 to 15 year olds. That's just a 1 day camp. So if you know somebody that wants to still get in on either of those 2 summer camps, those are the only spots we have open. We filled everything up within, my naturalist tells me 10 and a half hours it took to fill all the other spots. So other than that, that is all I have for this week.
Thanks, Chris. With an I, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.